Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey guys, it's Jesse Cove and I am on with Chris Gordon from Hellblazer Blitz. Hold on. I'm going to get that last one right. You can include this, probably be really funny. All right. Ready? Hey guys, it's Jesse Cove. I'm here with Chris Gordon and I am on Hellblazer Biz.
Everyone, as you can see, I have the privilege and honor of the company of Jesse Cove, actor from the United States today. So, hey, Jesse, again, welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much.
Obviously, I think a lot of people who've contacted me are ones who've obviously seen you in Cobra Kai.
Great.
Which is, yeah, family tradition, I think.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And I'm blessed that it's worked out this way.
Yeah, it must be pretty. I mean, obviously, some of the questions will be focused around that, but it's got to be pretty cool, like, to be able to, you know, to be on the same show and that. Well, your dad pretty much is on, and obviously was one of the founder members of 30 odd years ago.
It's amazing. I mean, it's such a, you know, I really feel honored, and I'm also a huge fan of the show and obviously a fan of the movies. So for me, it's like, it's as if I'm not connected at all. And then, you know, I'm lucky enough to have the family tied to it. But, you know, I honor it as if, you know, I wasn't connected to it. And I'm also nerd out at the same time.
Excellent. I mean, yeah, everyone I speak to who's been on the show, to be fair, has said the same thing, that they're just complete massive fans and they nerd out all over. You know, it's like, it's yeah. Great. I mean, it must be such a great project to work on, to be fair. It's like, it's, they just did it so well. I think just bringing it back and, you know, you got the big three. Their vision seems to have just encapsulated, because I mean I'm of the age anyway that I remember it originally when it first came out. I was at the cinema watching it. That's how old I am. So it's like, you know, so yeah, I remember, you know, to bring it back and to keep the characters like they are, and you know, it's just fantastic, especially Johnny. You know, I'm team Johnny all the way. The guy's hysterical.
Well, I think that was one of the things that, you know, John, Josh and Hayden wanted to. The gardeners. I think that was one of the important things that they wanted to do, was to keep that 80s nostalgia, because everybody, you know, loves that, and who mm-hmm. doesn't? I wasn't even born in the 80s and I love it. And I think that's why people resonate with it so much. And also the generational aspect of it too, that, you know, people who watched it in the 80s were able to watch it now, maybe with their kids or, you know, mm-hmm. New friends, or and experience it in a whole new way and revisit that, which is, I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. And it does. It's just like you say, it's encapsulated a whole brand new audience. And I can sit with my 14-year-old son and watch it, and it's a whole new thing for him. I've got him introduced to the Karate Kid first, so I could, you know, get understand it all. And yeah, it's fun. It's just amazing. So let's find a bit more about yourself, Jesse. Then AJ Wilhelm actually asked this, and I would have asked the same thing: is what? When did you get the acting bug? I mean, I've obviously read into your past and stuff, but when did you get it? Was it seeing your dad was acting and you were immersed in that entertainment industry from the get-go, I guess. So when did it hit you that this is what you wanted to do?
What's funny is I've talked about this before. You know, my family never pushed me to be in the industry. It was always, you know, a choice, and it was always an mm-hmm. aspect of our lives. Was the entertainment industry. It was always around us. I was traveling all the time to see my dad and to watch him, you know, on doing different movies that he was doing. And I was fortunate enough to like travel the world with him. And I was always around it. So I really enjoyed it. It was like, I was a kid in a candy shop, because like every set I went on, it was like, you know, some amazing new thing. It was either a fantasy thing or a Western or a, mm-hmm. you know, futuristic movie, or drama, cop movie, all this stuff. And so that was really exciting. I would always rather go be with my dad than be in school. It was always just more fun for me. And, you know, we balanced it out, which worked out. And I think just naturally, I was drawn to it and I couldn't get away from it. Every time there was a movie, I obviously love watching movies as well. I'm just such a you know, a cinema fanatic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love watching other people work, and I love the work of an actor as well. Like I'll get emotional just seeing the commitment level of another actor, how far they went with a character, because I understand the passion of that. And
yeah,
you know, it's so when I was younger, I was always in high school plays, and I loved doing that. And I love making people laugh, and I love comedy, and I would perform magic as a little kid in front of my family. And, mm-hmm. You know, and then my dad would ask me, "Oh, do you want to have some fun on set?" I said, "Sure." And, you know, we did that a few times. And then, you know, when I was about 18, I was also in several different film schools. I went to New York Film Academy for a little bit because I loved directing as well. Mm-hmm. And I just started doing it professionally when I was 18, got an agent, got started with that. And, you know, I've just never looked back since. And again, to me, it's every movie, every role has its own challenges, but it really never feels like work to me when I'm doing it, when I'm on set, because I'm always having fun no matter what's going on. Even if it's a heavy dramatic scene, I'm doing what I love, and I'm very lucky to do that. And so, again, no regrets, and happy to be doing it.
Fantastic, fantastic. I was going to say, I bet there were some heavy scenes in the film on the poster that you've got on your wall behind you of D-Day as well.
Oh, this is the most physically and emotionally draining movie I've ever done. And it's one of my proudest, which is why I have it so big on my wall.
Fantastic. I mean, yeah, I mean, anything to do with that, I guess, because it's got, obviously, it's a major historical event that happened. So I guess, yeah, just, I mean, I was actually lucky enough the other day to speak to Matthew Leach, who played Floyd Talbot in Band of Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of my all-time favourite shows anyway. And I was talking to him about the same sort of the emotion of playing someone in like a war film, and especially World War II film, where there is that emotional attachment that you do get when you're in that kind of a role.
Very much so. It's interesting because when you're doing like a war movie, which I really love, I love doing period pieces. I love, and World War II is one of my favorite subjects. You know, there's a certain understanding of like the character of like a soldier, because back then they thought a bit differently than now, in the sense of like people are much more open with their emotions, you know, in today's society. Back then it wasn't so much, and was looked, you know, I guess down upon a little bit more. So, you know, you kind of have to figure out like, oh, you know, back then these characters, they're dealing with these really heavy emotional issues, but they don't want to show it so much. And then you got to play that and think about those things. So it's really a joy to go into all that stuff.
I can imagine. You're right. It's completely different. Even back in the 80s when I was, it was a completely different way of thinking. You couldn't open up, and it was, you know, very much so now, especially with mental health and stuff. It's a great way to step forward, because back in the wartime, you know, people were getting shot, weren't they, basically, by their own side for cowardice, because they were, you know, the PTSD and struggling and things. So it's just a different time. And I've met obviously several veterans, my grandfather and stuff, and I just couldn't imagine people like him in a war situation. Because they were just, they'd come out again, they finished. He was a school teacher, so he finished the war. He was actually a Phantom, which is worked with David Niven. He served under David Niven in the war in Phantoms, setting up communications behind enemy lines and things. And he came back. I didn't talk to him about the war, I'm gutted, but he came out, and my dad always said, just came back out and went back to being an English teacher. And it was just that entire generation, isn't it? They just stop and that's it. They go to war, do their business, come back, and then carry on their normal lives again.
Fascinating. Just fascinating. And it's interesting too, because like it ties into, you know, you talk about the emotional state, like Cobra Kai, like the emotional era of that time, and they kind of bring it back a little bit, and then it's been molded and changed a bit, it's modified, which is, you know, which is very interesting.
Definitely, definitely. You've also, I mean, you mentioned there as well, and I know you have trod the boards of Broadway, of off-Broadway as well. So how do you find acting on stage compared to acting on screen?
You know, it's funny, I had this conversation with, because I another movie I did with, actually, funny enough, you know, Joseph Fiennes, called On Wings of Eagles. We can talk about more of that later. But I asked him a similar question, because he's done so much stage and he's so prolific and incredible. And even his family as well, and his brother, you know. And I asked him a question. I was like, you know, when you're doing your work on the stage, and when you're doing, you know, your cinema work, I was like, do you take a lot of this stuff home with you? Do you bring these characters home with you? And he was like, no, he's very soft-spoken. And he's like, no, I don't very much keep it all at home. I don't even have movie posters in my house. And it was just really funny to like hear him talk about some of that. But anyway, in my realm, I obviously have movie posters in my house, Maybe it's my ego. I don't know. But no, yeah, I did some
like trophies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I even keep little mementos from all the movies that I've done. Yeah. But to answer your question, I think theater is incredible. Love doing theater. Mm-hmm. To me, theater is the epitome of what an actor does, and to perform on stage in front of an audience and, you know, be the true thespian that we are. I think if you can do that, you can do anything. And I did some off Broadway, which was really a nice treat and a nice highlight in my life. And because my dad's from New York as well. So be able to go to New York as a young man and do some Broadway, off Broadway and theater was just a delight. And I cannot wait to go back and do it again. And also the most challenging as well, because when you're on stage, it's just one go and that's it. You can't stop. You can't start again. You got to get it right. And, so I think if anybody, you know, obviously I think anybody should do theater and test it out. And I did a show that was actually here in Los Angeles. It was called The Columbine Project. So it was actually a really, really heavy story, all about the Columbine shootings that happened in Colorado in the late 90s, I think. And so basically we took that to the stage here, and then it got picked up and we took it to New York. And it was an incredible story written by Paul Storiel. And we were there for several months, and it was incredible experience out there. My dad came out. It was a great moment.
fantastic. It's I can imagine. The amount of actors I talk to, I always love hearing how people think, how you guys think about the stage and screen, because they are different, but obviously the experiences people can have from different ones.
It's just like another world. I mean, the theater is it's just so different than, you know, film and cinema. You know, I read, who was it that was talking about this? We're good on time, by the way, don't worry.
Okay.
it was I forget, what's his name from the newsroom. I just blank on his name. The newsroom, Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels did an interview with the Hollywood Reporter, and he was talking about working with Aaron Sorkin versus doing like stage and working with Aaron Sorkin. And it's very true. He made this joke about like, you can basically be sitting in the makeup chair on set learning your lines on the shoot, but when you're doing a play or when you're working with someone like Aaron Sorkin, like you have to be so prepared. And I think that's the beauty of theater. You know, if it's a musical or whatever it is, it's extremely challenging, and it's such a performance, and it's so big sometimes. You know, it's a very special place. And it is also so rewarding, because when you do theater, you're getting instant gratification from the audience right there in that moment, whether you tell a joke or you have a dramatic scene, you know, you have the applause, hopefully at the end. And, yeah, exactly. And so it's really, I look forward to doing a lot more theater in my life.
Fantastic. There's also that element as well. As you say, we've got that live audience and you get the gratification.
Yes, you can feel the energy and the draw of what, if they're intrigued by what you're doing and the reactions they have. It's a very interesting feeling that it's kind of hard to explain.
Yeah, you can even, I mean, I've done theatre when I was in school. I did a couple of musicals and things, but very, very amateur type stuff. I get that feeling, because you can have a different show every night as well, because each audience is going to react differently. So you might get one which is really, really, I've watched plays before, and I've been quite shocked, to be honest, because I think I was the only one laughing. It was a comedy, and all you could hear was me belting out the laughter, because, and everyone else was just sitting there deadpan, and I'm like, oops. So it's, you know, but and then another time it's like everybody was howling for the same play. It's quite, you know, it just depends on the audience, but
it is. It's like a different show every night, and you try new things. And it's funny. My favorite moments, actually, when I'm doing a play, it's actually not when I was on the stage. It was actually when you finish the show for that usually that evening. It's that time just after the show ends, where you're mingling with the other actors and you're talking about tonight's performance and how it was and how different it was from the night before, and the things you want to tweak. It's a really special, intimate time. And I recommend anybody to go and give it a shot if they can.
Excellent. Fantastic. Some great advice. Thank you. I'd love to do something like that again. It was a long time. The best time I ever did, Jesse, I was a pantomime dame when I was at university.
Wow, that's so cool.
It was the funniest thing I've ever done.
You remember some of it?
I do, actually. I probably can't repeat it now because this was back in the 90s, and so some of the jokes that we obviously said at the time might not be deemed appropriate now, but it wasn't
right.
They weren't nasty jokes. They were just things, because we all knew each other, so I knew everyone in the audience and things like that, so we could we just loved each other to bits, so we knew how we could then work each other. So, but yeah, if I said it now, it would be taken out of context and it'd be like, Chris Gordon.
I love it.
So yeah. But yeah, no, it was good. I do remember some of it.
Good.
Now, we did mention Wings of Eagles as well, because that's one I was interested in, because it's classed as like an unofficial sequel to Chariots of Fire, isn't it? And about Eric Liddell.
Yes. The story was, so I knew one of the producers on it, and Jim Green, and it was a Chinese American co-production, and the story was this is the biggest movie I've ever done. This was you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars that went into this movie, and tens of millions. And it was, you know, the whole movie was shot in China, and I mean, I was there for like 3 months. I mean, it was a dream project. And then to work with, you know, with Joe, who I, you know, got to know pretty intimately, and, you know, but he and I both lost a lot of weight for this movie, because part of the film was us going into an internment camp.
Right.
And he and I would get on the treadmill like every day at our hotel and eat very small amounts of food and run together. You know, we had just these incredible conversations about life and film and family. And he's such an incredible man, such a gentleman. And, you know, it was just such a pleasure to work alongside him. I learned a lot from him. And, you know, especially, you know, someone of his caliber. And so the story as well was just so incredible about Eric, you know, where he was, and then, which is all based on truth, what happened to him. I mean, he did go back to China, and he tried to help these people, and then did end up going into an internment camp, and basically became like the camp missionary, and ended up, you know, passing away. His story was just so, it's heroic and selfless, and, you know, and so it was this beautiful story, and I had the time of my life over there making this film. I mean, it was just, I have another poster over there, actually. It's too big to even carry over, but it's a great Joe and I. And it was a very special movie. The name of the movie in China, when it released, there was two different versions of the movie. There was the Chinese cut, which the entire movie was about 80% in English. And, you know, with incredible Chinese actors peppered throughout. And it was called The Last Race when it premiered in China. Then they redid the cut, and then it premiered it in for the Western world, I guess you would say, and in the United States and Canada. And it was called On Wings of Eagles. Completely different movie in a sense. They had it was like, you know, it was in about an hour and 40 minutes, and the Chinese version was like 2 hours and 45 minutes long. that version was great because they used every single scene of me in the movie.
Right.
And just the experience was amazing. And I always talk about how it was seeing this crew. We used a Hong Kong crew, how their love and passion for cinema, even over there, is basically the same love and passion for cinema we have over here and pretty much everywhere else in the world. So it was a great experience to see them wanting to tell great stories no matter where you are, and bringing all these people together to have this collaborative film. And it was an incredible movie, and I recommend people to see it. It's a great story, and Joe's work in it is beautiful. I think my work's pretty good in the movie, and just a fantastic experience, you know. And then also just the culture over there was incredible. You know, just the Chinese culture was just beautiful, and making a movie throughout this was just wild. There was one day we had 2,000 extras that were on set. They were literally bussing them in from, like, you know, all these local areas. It was crazy. It was like an army of people that came in, and again, massive scale. It was wild, wild movie.
Does sound, I'll have to watch it, actually. I've not seen it, so I will watch it. That sounds incredible. And I mean, I love Joseph Fiennes as well, because you're right, he's just such an exquisite actor. He really is. Everything he does, I mean.
Shakespeare in Love. Shakespeare in Love.
Shakespeare in Love, yes.
great ones. Mm-hmm. I actually watched that movie in the plane on the way over to go work with him. And then as soon as I got off the plane, went and had coffee with him. And I was like, it was great.
He does. Yeah. He's very Shakespearean as well with Joseph Fiennes as well. And obviously, you know, Royal Shakespeare Company. So
yeah.
I'll just cut my little slight out that I got confused between the two.
That's all right.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, obviously you've got, I've forgotten the film he was in, the World War II one as well, the Russian one. That was amazing.
Oh.
Enemy of the Gates. Enemy
in
the
Red
Gates.
Line?
Yeah, no, the Enemy of the Gates as well. Because
Behind
that,
Enemy, yeah, the Enemy of the Gates. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with Ed Harris as well. That was he was phenomenal on that as well. He's just, yeah, he's a great.
Love
it. Must have been, yeah, so. I mean, you know, you're second building that with him. So, you know, it must be a huge honor to be able to film that.
It was incredible. It was just really, really incredible.
It sounds like the Chinese version was like the Zack Snyder version.
Yeah, exactly. It was very. I've just started watching that, so don't spoil anything for me. But yeah, it was just really. It was amazing. It was a great. The entire film was such a collaboration. It was actually had two directors. One was a Hong Kong director, and the other one was a Canadian director. And it was just great. It was an incredible learning experience, and again, challenging and rewarding all at the same time.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, you have got a lot of credits to your name under there. So you've been, you know, it's great that you're getting the work and coming in and everything like that.
Thanks.
It's obviously, you know, it's nice to see and landing roles like you have done with obviously that. You got D-Day, which is posted behind there as well, which
I love. For some reason, it's funny. I love doing period pieces. I love doing films that take place in other times and, you know, different worlds. I just really get into these characters, I guess, easier than others. I mean, I obviously playing someone current is great. I love it. It's just, I can really sink my fingers into something that's, you know, like this character and the character in On Wings of Eagles and in other movies I've done. It's just, I know, it's kind of like how Johnny Depp is able to get into these characters. I'm just talking about him artistically, not personally. Yeah. You know, how he's able to just dive into these characters that are really out of this world. I think he has an easier time doing that because it's not him. It's these characters. Mm-hmm. And I feel very similar that way. You know, I love jumping into that. You just jump off the cliff. You're in this character and you walk and talk differently. And I very much enjoy that.
Excellent. No, that's great. Yeah. It's fine about Johnny Depp, by the way. Because some people I know there's a massive camp for and a massive camp against, but you know, that's a crazy situation. You know, unless you're there.
Totally.
It's difficult to
we'll see what the outcome is.
But you're right. He just slips into characters. You know, he's Jack Sparrow. There's no other one who could ever play that character because you just know.
Yeah. I'm huge fans of those movies. Grew up watching them.
Yeah. They're absolutely phenomenal. And, yeah, definitely brilliant. And that actually, Helen Irving then kind of asks me a question, which we can kind of piggyback on these, on what you've just talked about, is obviously you did learn a lot about acting from your parents, but has there been a film or a TV show that has helped you gain exceptional experiences you never thought you'd have learned or partaken in before? Like a skill, maybe travel somewhere particular, China, work with a particular person, or just some advice that you were given?
Working with Joe was a big deal. Spending that much time with him and you know, watching him, you know, when you watch someone like Joe work, you're really watching, like you're watching one of these greats, you know, the movies he's been in, the commitment level that he gives. And, you know, it's like watching like Christian Bale or, you know, any of these great, great actors and actresses. Christian's one of my favorite actors. I love him. Yeah. And, you know, it's like Judy Dench or something, you know, and you, when you're with them and their energy is so palpable, you can feel it. And when you work with them, they're so committed. It's so inspiring and watching his commitment level and watching what he brought to life with that character. I mean, it was also a huge responsibility for him to play that role. I mean, he had the weight of this movie on his shoulders, you know, day in and day out. And it was a heavy movie. And so it was just really inspiring. And to watch that and then to be involved in the cogwheels of that with him was incredible. Mm-hmm. And then also that proved to me that I could go toe to toe essentially with someone of that caliber, which, you know, obviously made me feel very good about my own work and what I do. And so that allowed me to be like, okay, great. Like if someone does come along that way, I might be able to work with them in that way. And, you know, I'm being humble about it, but I did feel at the time, I was like, oh wow, Joe is just incredible. And then, you know, working with him for the first day when I did a scene with him, you know, we had a great time. We did a lot of laughing and it was just great. And then, so that kind of stuff is always really helpful, you know, boost your confidence level that way. Cause every role in every movie has its own challenges. Yeah. And of course I've learned, you know, a lot from my father in the sense of all the conversations that we have and the experience mm-hmm. that I've had with him. You know, the best thing I've learned from my dad, you know, with acting is the stillness and calmness that he has. You know, I've taken some of that into my work because he's very good at listening and he takes mm-hmm. his time, and everything, you know, in today's world is very fast paced and very instant gratification. And movies are, you know, as an actor, a lot of it is listening and reacting. And yeah. he does it so, so well. He's just a master of you know, having a cigar in his mouth and listening to someone else over here and then waiting a moment and then delivering his line.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. What you just said there as well, it reminds me, especially working with Joe as well. I spoke to an actress a couple of years ago now. She'd been on a film with Samuel Jackson.
Great.
The same sort of, you know, I'll never forget the story, because she said what she was learning of being in the moment, like you say, you can work with someone, you can, it helps you, you know, where you say you're your own caliber, that you are good in it, you know, you feel good enough in yourself that you're working with someone like that.
Yeah.
But I think there was a scene, her brother had been killed in the film, and the script said she was just going to carry on and leave. But she said at the spur of the moment, she thought, well, no, my character wouldn't. My character would want to turn around and say goodbye one last time to her brother. And she turned around ad hoc, you know, ad lib, sorry. She just turned around to go back to have a look. And she felt an arm clasp her like that. And it was Samuel Jackson, and he just said, you don't want to see him like that. You don't want to remember him like that. And turned her around and walked. And it was just like, completely unscripted.
So good. That happens all the time. And when those moments happen, it's incredible. Like they're beautiful. I can't tell you how many times that kind of in the moment magic happens. It's the movie magic. That stuff happens and it's really, it's just perfect. It's what you're feeling. It's in the moment and it usually always works and you could never get it again. And I love those moments. The Hollywood movie magic.
It is, yeah. Serendipitous moment, I think, as Ron Thomas would have told it.
Yes.
Where everything just falls in place.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I didn't mean just Hollywood, but it happens everywhere, of course.
Oh, yeah,
You know, it's just those magical moments are really, they're very special. I was trying to remember that. Actually, one of those happened here because my dad actually had a great part in this movie. He came to set. And mm-hmm. I spoke to the writer and the producer. I was like, guys, let's just throw him in here. Like, he would love to have a part. He'll die on the beach. He'll do something. Let him do something. And they wrote this great scene between he and I. And there was some great natural stuff that happened between him and I that wasn't scripted. And it just had this great ebb and flow to it. And it was so natural. And again, the magic happened. And it happened on the day of, and they used it in the movie.
Yeah. Fantastic. And I mean, obviously, he did mention obviously how he takes on those roles and very calm and collected. Someone sent a question in, and I actually kind of agree with this, because obviously, like I said, I'm the 80s kid as well.
Yeah.
And it was like, how was it seeing your dad playing the scary bad guy in like the Karate Kid and Cobra Kai, obviously, and against his real personality? Because obviously, when I was little, even coming back on Cobra Kai now, because I remember Kreese, and he scared the bejesus out of me. You really did when I was younger. So obviously, you know, and obviously I know your dad, Martin, he's not that light in real life. So, okay. So I think they're just
asking. Sure?
Well, yeah, I don't know, actually. I'll ask you. That's what I'm asking. She always wondered what he's like in real life.
My dad's great. You know, it's funny. Every character that he does, there's some aspect of that character that is within him in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I guess in the sense of John Kreese, you know, my dad's energy is like, he's like an outlaw in the sense of like, he is a lone wolf, you know, in his life. You know, he doesn't always take no for an answer, you know, and he's just, you know, he's gotten to where he is because of his own tenacity. And I think there's a bit of that in John Kreese, where he, you know, he has a vision in mind and he wants to achieve that. And so, you know, there's bits of that sprinkled in there with him. But, you know, my dad in real life, he's a nature man. He loves to be out in nature and outside and be with horses. And, you know, he loves to sit and smoke his cigars and watch football and, you know, be with family. One of the greatest joys of his life is, you know, my nephew, my sister's son, who's three, has the most fun with him. And, you know, so he's a big family man. He's a spiritual man. And, you know, he's an outlaw all at the same time.
That's fantastic to hear. It really is. And I mean, I do like that again about Cobra Kai, because obviously we see, as in Creed, obviously this is where your character comes into it as well in the show, is because I didn't realize who you were until obviously after I was looking, I was like, really? I was like, whoa. It's like a mind-blowing moment.
It's happened that way. It's really nice.
It is, yeah. But I do love that backstory there as well. It's because it's all about perspective. So, you know, you grow up thinking this, but why? If you look at his past and how he was obviously treated out in the Vietnam War, so and going through all that hell, and you can see where it sort of spiritually come from. I mean, I actually commented on a post on Facebook today in one of the Cobra Kai groups because someone had mentioned that. And I said, well, it's like Anakin Skywalker. I think it is Dave Filoni came out recently and said Anakin Skywalker, according to him, never turned bad. What he was doing was trying to restore peace in the galaxy, get rid of a corrupt Senate, get rid of this old, you know, faked out old religion that's deciding it wants to take over and planning terrorist attacks across the galaxy to, you know, and killing hundreds and thousands of people at the same time with all these little rebellion terror, you know, it's like calling a rebellion a terrorist attack. And Anakin never turned to the dark side. He was just looking for peace and restoring it all back to the, you know, and it's just a perspective. Look, that's what I was trying to get at. You just look at it as a perspective.
No, of course. There is that element. I mean, there is the Star Wars element in there completely. I talk about that all the time. There's such a Star Wars element within Cobra Kai, completely. Mm-hmm. Especially at the end of season 3, episode 10, you know, that whole finale was just incredible. It was like these clashing of, you know, the Sith and the Jedi and the next generation. It was unbelievable. Even the music was very Star Wars esque because that's what they wanted. They had those Star Wars horns in there. I even spoke to the writers about it. I was like, I saw you guys. I know what you did. And, you know, cause it's their Star Wars and they love it. And it's, you know, it has this a similar phenomenon with people. They just love it. The fandom is crazy for Cobra Kai.
Oh yeah. And,
so yes, those elements do exist.
Excellent. Excellent. And obviously your character is Barrett there as well. You know, you instigated the whole thing by bullying Kreese when he was younger and picking on him. Jamie Lee Hamilton's actually said, would you rather have played the part of young John Kreese than Barrett, considering the connection?
You know, it's funny. And Barrett and I have become, you know, good friends. He's a great guy. And, you know, he and I talked for the past year before this released because, you know, we were so excited for people to see it.
Yeah.
And if that opportunity came up for me, you know, obviously I would have treated it the same as I did with David. You know, I would have treated it with honor and would have had a great time. It would have been really fun. But, you know, it's worked out great. You know, I thought Barrett did an incredible job and he took it very seriously. And he paid just as much homage and respect as I did, with, you know, for David and being involved in the show. And, you know, he was very concerned with his portrayal of you know, Kreese. And he spoke to my dad several times and, you know, he even asked me a couple questions and. He was great. I was very happy with how that turned out. And he's a great guy and he's, you know, he's got a lot of success his way. And, it was just fun to, you know, to tussle with him. And, we had a great time, man. He was just as excited as I was on the day of, and it was really nice to share that with him.
Fantastic. He really does play the intensity as well, especially you know, in the scenes out in the jungle and stuff and with the captain and everything like that, you know, it was very, very, you know, so, I mean, I keep singing his praise. It's just the whole show is just so well done. I can't say that enough. You know,
I appreciate that, man. I mean, who knows, man? You may see David again. You know, there's been public talk about maybe a Kreese spinoff series. Who knows, man? If he does come back, I would be the first to jump at that opportunity. It'd be incredible.
That'll be pretty cool, actually, because there's so much of that. Because they've opened a can of worms with Kreese now, because there's you've got that entire history.
Plot. I mean, so it would be cool.
It would be, yeah. People have been joking as well. The last final phone call that he made as well was so I was just the one I love most is the phone call he made was John Rambo.
I love that. I haven't heard that one. That's really good. I love that.
I thought that'd be hilarious. You know, his last phone call was to John Rambo.
It's actually his mom. Nobody knows the truth, but it's actually his mom. His mom's going to come in and it's going to just completely destroy everything.
Exactly. Because if you thought Kreese was bad, wait till you see his mom.
Exactly. I love it.
She'll be like, yeah, there's a little old age pension over there.
Yeah.
Sweeping the leg. Love it. Helen's also got an officer. Cobra Kai had to sell her Helen Irvin again with Cobra Kai. Did you need a stunt double for your fight scenes, or did you not need one with your acting, your action experience that you've got?
They had one. They had one on standby for me. He literally looked just like me, dressed the same, and everything. I did not use him once for any of the scenes, and I guess I'm pretty proud of that. But you know, I had some scrapes and bruises, and because I really like to dive into that stuff, and if I can make it as real as possible, I will. You know, I like to commit to that. You know, obviously within you know reality, I'm not going to jump out of a building. I might though, actually. That actually would be kind of. I'd push myself to these limits, but maybe like Tom Cruise. I don't know if I'd climb the Burj, but the Burj Khalifa. Oh, but
he's just incredible. Yeah, it's scary as hell him doing that.
But I went up to the stunt double at the end of that day, and I shook his hand, and he's a great guy. And I was like, dude, I'm so sorry that like you didn't get to like you know play this today. And he gave me the best compliment. He was just like, no, man. He's like, you actually made my job easier. It's like if I don't have to get involved, he's like, that's great for me. So a great guy. We had a great time.
Fantastic. That's quite nice to hear, I suppose.
He was there and he was dressed up in his costume, and I was like, well, he didn't get to, and I was like, you know, I really wanted him to, you know, if they throw me through a window, I'd probably be like, nah, you know what? It's totally, you can do that. It's all right.
Yeah. You get it. Yeah. Yeah. The glass. Yeah. Forget it. Yeah. I don't want to hear any pain like that. But yeah, Tom Cruise, like, oh, God. I didn't realize he did. Even on that Top Gun 2 screen, he's sat in the back. He's actually in the cockpit as well. You know, the plane.
It's incredible.
Insane.
I mean, huge fan.
Chan's another one as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's great.
Oh, it is. It's, you know, that they can, yeah, if they're brave enough to do it, I'm sure their insurance and their insurance companies must be pretty scared every time they go near a film set. But excellent. I've kind of got one fan question, then obviously I've left from here, and that's just, is nothing to do with any show. This is just Laura Byrne. She says, would you ever like to visit Scotland? Obviously she's in Scotland, and she'd love to meet you, I think.
Visiting Scotland is at the top of my list. I've traveled a lot around the world, and I really, really want to go to Scotland. Scotland and Ireland, both of them, I would really love to go visit them both. I'm not even kidding. Actually, my dad's as well, literally on the top of our list. Is to go there. We'll probably go there in the next year or so with, you know, as things open up, which would be great. So yes, the answer is yes, with a big, big exclamation point on the end.
Excellent. Excellent. You also missed Wales out there for the Celtic countries. That's where I am. So yeah, you have to stop in Wales on the way up.
I love it. We'll grab some coffee.
A couple of hours away from where Christian Bale is born, actually.
Oh, beautiful.
Because he's
beautiful.
Welsh. So yeah.
Yep.
Excellent. So, I mean, you've obviously got a few more projects on the go at the moment. Is there anything that you can talk about? I know this is a tricky question when I come to it. Because
there's a lot of projects coming up. And, you know, one that I always tell people that released this year, which was fantastic, was Max Reload and the Nether Blasters with Kevin Smith. Mm-hmm. It was great. Bring Me a Dream is a thriller I did. My dad's got a fun little cameo in that. That's a thriller. Check that out. Christmas on the Menu is a great, fun, sweet movie. If you're looking for something fun and sweet, Christmas movie I did. And then I'm off to do several other films in the next month and a half, and all around the country, which is great. And there's a couple in the works, and there's another project with my dad. So there's a lot of great stuff.
Wow.
And it's been a busy year, you know, despite unfortunately the COVID pandemic. So I am grateful for that, but some really great stuff coming in.
Fantastic. No, that sounds great. And it's great to hear that you've got all that work coming in as well. Because you're right, with COVID, it's been really difficult for a lot of people. So there's a lot of films. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of films that I'm going to have to be watching now.
Yes, please do.
Oh, no, I will do. Don't worry. I'll do it. I will support you. It's fantastic. Especially after talking to you even more, you see people in, like yourself in Cobra Kai, you know, things like Cobra Kai, and you're like, you get interested then. So you obviously go out and look, and because, yeah, you know, it's not sycophantic. The acting was really well done. So you think, right. Oh, okay, that's someone to watch. I'll find out what else they're in. And you know, and it's for anyone who's watching and listening, that's actually really good. We'll all go out and support any way we can in that way by watching the films. I've got one last question, Jesse, for you before I start recording, which is a shame because obviously I'd carry on all night, but I know you can't. You've got the day.
That's all right.
This is a character question based on, I had a guy come on my show once who was a Muppeteer for Jim Henson for 30 odd years, and this was sent to him. So if you could have a Muppet created after you, or if there's an existing one, what kind of Muppet would you be and why?
Oh, this is a great question. I love it. One, I love Muppets, man. Muppets are incredible. One of my favorite Muppet movie was Muppets on Treasure Island. It's literally
It's amazing.
Best. Incredible movie. I love that movie. What was the song they sang? It was like
they got a cabin fever on that one, haven't you?
I've got cabin fever. Yeah, that one's great. Oh yeah, yeah. I was like boom, shakalaka, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, then boom, shakalaka. Yeah. Let's say if I don't know, I guess it'd be my own version of Jesse would be funny. I guess a good, you know, some energetically fun, maybe a little brooding guy. But I'm trying to think, I don't think I'd be Kermit. Who would I'm trying to think, I get maybe the Cookie Monster. I love cookies so much. aspect of him within me. But do I have to make up a name for him?
If you want to make up a name, you can do. Yeah.
I think Jesse. I'd love there to be a Jesse Muppet.
Fair enough. Cool. Sounds good.
Great.
I did my Kermit. I do some really poor impressions. So my Kermit's Piggy, Piggy, you're needed on set, Piggy.
Really good. Kermit.
Hi. Yeah, I can't do it. I did the odor and everything. Well, I'm not going to bore you with anything. I'll be here all night. Anyway. Anything else, Jesse, that you would like to say to people who are watching or listening before I stop the recording?
You know, I'm really active on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me at Jesse Cove, JESSEKO, V as in Victor, E as in Edward, Jesse Cove. Love to hear from you guys. And I just really appreciate you guys listening. And just remember, you don't show the opponent mercy.